In this lecture, we discuss the concept of Lefnei Meshuras HaDin, the idea that there exists a higher standard than the basic requirements of strict din. We shall discuss the parameters of Lefnei Meshuras HaDin, the question of exactly how binding it is, and in particular, the role of the Beis Din and Dayanim in encouraging or even enforcing Lefnei Meshuras HaDin. Is Lefnei Meshuras HaDin simply an obligation or something we ask of citizens, of Balei Din? Or does Beis Din and Dayanim play a role in encouraging and enforcing Lefnei Meshuras HaDin? We begin with four anecdotes that highlight these questions. The first concerns the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Roberts. A couple of years ago, during his confirmation hearings, he had this interesting interchange with one of the senators. Apparently, he was being pressed on the question of whether he would be sufficiently sympathetic to the little guys based on his somewhat elitist background. Robert said, I had someone ask me in this process. Someone asked me, you know, are you going to be on the side of the little guy? And you obviously want to give an immediate answer. But as you reflect on it, if the Constitution says that the little guy should win, the little guy is going to win in the court before me. But if the Constitution says that the big guy should win, well, then the big guy is going to win. Because my obligation is to the Constitution. That's the oath. The oath that a judge takes is not, I look out for particular interests, I'll be on the side of particular interests. The oath is to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the United States, and that's what I would do. He reiterates a bit later, what's carved above the door to the Supreme Court, equal justice under law. And the judicial oath talks about doing justice without regard to persons, to rich and to poor, and that, of course, is critically important. Roberts here reiterates several times that he will rule simply according to the law without fair or favor to rich or to poor. He winds up, the judge's obligation is to appreciate that the rule of law requires that both of those, the rich and the poor, be treated equally under the law. Is this really true in halacha? Is a dayan really supposed to treat poor and rich identically, or are there differences? Should a dayan sometimes take into account the indigent nature of a litigant, or conversely, the wealth of the other litigant? Another anecdote. Several months ago, my colleagues and I were attending a shiur by a distinguished dayan from Bnei Brak. And in the course of his discussion, he recounted a case in which the dayanim saw clearly that one litigant had behaved like a scoundrel, but the din was on his side. Under the letter of the law of his contract, or the facts of the case, he would win, even though it was clear that he had behaved very badly. So the dayan said, reluctantly, we would have loved to rule against him, but there's nothing we could do. So I raised the question, what about Lefnei Meshuras HaDin? If he really acted so badly, maybe there is some basis to penalize him. The dayan gave us a look, and he seemed appalled that we would entertain such a possibility, and he explained to us that no, of course a dayan has to rule strictly according to the law, no matter how unsympathetic the conduct of one party had been. So we gave him a bit of a hard time, I and my colleagues. We discussed a number of the sources, which we shall discuss later. We kept suggesting that there is basis in halacha for a dayan to take into account the scurrilousness of a litigant's conduct. He just got increasingly appalled, increasingly perplexed that we could have such terribly wrong-headed notions. Eventually, we had to drop it and return to the topic of the lecture. But again, in our share tonight, we will discuss what the basis is for a dayan, if any, for a dayan to take into account the nature of the conduct of the litigants, even when the din would say one way, and to sometimes arrive at a different conclusion. Third anecdote, returning to the United States Supreme Court, going back a century, however, a legendary, albeit apparently apocryphal story concerning Justice Holmes, Associate Justice Holmes. The story goes that he was once talking to Judge Learned Hand, and Hand told him, sir, do justice. Holmes predictably got very upset and said, that's not my job. My job is to play the game according to the rules. Holmes was saying that justice is the abstract concept of justice is not his business. The job of a judge, the job of a dayan, is to paskin halacha, to paskin din. The higher notion of justice is beyond the pay grade of a dayan. Again, is this really true or not? This is what we shall explore tonight. Fourth anecdote, actually a pair of anecdotes, is mentioned in a paper by Dr. Michal Vigoda, a Mishpat Ivri expert in Eretz Yisrael. He has an excellent paper on the topic of this lecture, which revolves around two cases of the Israeli secular courts. In both cases, a fellow was on trial and was found guilty. In one case, it was a tax evasion question. In one case, I think it was some kind of traffic violation. In both cases, the judge was going to have to fine him. And the defendant's lawyers pleaded for some kind of clemency, for a reduction in sentence, on the grounds that the defendants were poor and were having a hard time. And the law explicitly said that the judge is allowed, has some leeway, some sentencing discretion to take into account the facts of the case. So the lawyer said, take into account the fact that our clients are struggling, and reduce the sentence. And the judge said, absolutely not. Katuv batara, vidol lo te'adar berivo. The Torah tells us that we do not favor poor people in din. So Dr. Vigoda raises the question, is this really correct? Is a dayan, a judge, really not supposed to take into account the financial status of the litigants? So we begin our discussion with two central Gemaras, which are mentioned by all the posts when we discuss these things, two Gemaras in Bava Metzia. The first Gemara is in Eil Metzias, on Chav Dalam and Beis. The context is Aveda, Shavas Aveda, and Yeush. We know the halacha is that an Aveda that is found after Yeush need not be returned to the owner. So the Gemara brings a couple of stories, a couple of psakim, that Amaran Paskin, that they do have to return, people did have to return Avedas after Yeush. The Gemara says, why? Amalei lefnim ishuris ha-din. Ki hod avuah d'shmuel, there's a story with avuah d'shmuel, ashkachan echari v'madbara, he found donkeys in the desert, v'adrinu l'marayu l'basur treser yarchishata, he returned them to their owner even after 12 months, it was clearly Yeush. Why? Lefnim ishuris ha-din. So the Gemara says, even though there's a clear, unequivocal halacha that an Aveda found after Yeush need not be returned, but lefnim ishuris ha-din, one should or must, as we shall discuss presently. Another Gemara, this one is in the end of Ha'omnim, and Daf Pei Gimel. Very famous story. Rabbi Bar Barchana, Norchana, Tavru Lehanish Gulay Chavita Dechamra. He had workers, porters, carriers of some sort, and they broke a barrel of wine of his that they were carrying. So Shakal Iglimay, he seized as payment for their accident, for their negligence, he seized their cloaks. Also Amar L'Rav. So they went before Rav, a dying, and they said, he took our clothing. Amar Lei, Rav Paskin, Havlu Hugli Mayu, give it back, give them back their cloaks. Amar Lei, Dina Hachi, is that the din? They broke my barrel. Amar Lei, in, that is the din. L'man Telech B'derech Tovim. Pasuk says in Mishlei that a person should walk in the paths of the good. Yav Lugli Mayu. All right, so he listened to the dying, he returned the cloaks. Amar Lei, the workers then pleaded, Ani Ayanan, we're poor. Tarchinan Kule Yoma, they sounded really pathetic. We worked all day, pathetic in the old-fashioned sense, the kafinan, and we're starving, v'leslan midi, we have nothing to eat. So they asked for the salary. We counted on the salary to put food on the table, literally. Amar lei zil havagrayu. So Rav told Rav Abrachanan, pay them their wages. Amar lei dina hachi, is that the din? And not only am I not charging them for breaking my barrel, I have to pay them for work that they didn't perform, they negligently broke my barrel, and I should pay them. Amar lei in, baruch ha-tzadikim tishmar. That you shall heed the paths of the righteous. So that's the end of the same pasuk in Mishlei. So on the surface, the Gemara seems to be, and this is how it's understood by the poskim, promulgating another idea of Timishuris Hadin. Exactly what was meant by the discussion of Dina Hachi and Amar Le'in, we shall discuss later. So these two Gemaras, there are several other Gemaras, Lachar v'Yushlaim Ela She'amidu Dinei Maldin Torah, various other Gemaras the post can bring, but these are two of the central Gemaras where the Gemara seems to paskin that even though, according to the din, one would not have a certain obligation, one would not have to return the lost property, one would not have to pay the workers, one would be able to charge them for the damage, nevertheless, there are extra din obligations, l'fnim ishuris ha-din, to do it anyway. So, in the Rishonim, we find a basic, apparent machlokas, although not everyone agrees it's a machlokas, as we shall see. We find different opinions about whether Dayanim have the right to enforce these chiyuvim. The central Maror Makomos are a group of the German Rishonim in Eil Metzias. Mordechai, for example. Mordechai says, he brings several of these Gemaras, these two Gemaras we mentioned, one or two other ones, about Lefnim Ashur Sadin. And he writes, Kivan dechazinan dehavu kaifilei hachi. Since we see that Dayanim forced litigants to follow these rules, he claims that the Gemaras indicate that the Dayanim actually compelled those who were before them to obey the rule of Lefnim Ashuris Hadin. Other Acharim say they don't know where he saw there was anything about compulsion in these Gemaras, but the Mordechai claims we see that he compelled, that the Dayanim compelled them. Gam anan kaifin el nevel Lefnim Ashuris Hadin. We too, we compel people to follow Lefnim Ashuris Hadin. im hayachalas biyado, if they're able to, which is understood by most achronim to mean if he has sufficient financial means to do so. He brings the other Gemara mentioned, lo nechrever Yerushalayim el b'shvil shemidu derem al dintara, the churban of Yerushalayim, the destruction was because they stuck to dintara and refused to go any further. Lo asl of nemishur zedin. This is the Mardechai Shita, v'chein pasak haravon, v'avya, the ravya, v'chafin and luhulas is l'fnim mishur sadin, that based in Rabbanim can compel people to act l'fnim mishur sadin. This is also in the Aguda, the same thing, nir l'ravya, hadla k'fin and hasn l'as l'fnim mishur sadin. He's going on some other Gemara in which the Dayan did not force him to act l'fnim mishur sadin, after shemotzi ha'ani, u'balaveda ha'yashin. That here we see an important thing, that it depends on whether, that this is also the Mardechai, I'm sorry, this is the next passage of the Mardechai. He says that if the person who found the lost property is poor and the person who lost it is rich, then we are not kofa him to follow the Mishur Zadin. Some poskim, I believe, say that we don't even ask him to follow the Mishur Zadin, but we're certainly not kofa. The Aguda, Chayev Lahachsir, and Aveda after Yesh, Mishur Mishur Zadin. And he says, when the person who found it is rich, that's similar to the phrase in the Mardechai, im hayecholas biyadu. So this group of German Rishonim, the Aguda, the Ravya, the Ravon, the Mardechai, rule that Beis Din in general has the power to compel people to act with Nimashur Sadin. The Rosh, however, and the Piskei Rosh, and brought by Rabbeinu Yeruchim also, the Rosh says flatly, that even though the Gemara says a person should return an avedel of nimishur sadin v'lav de kafinan lei, we do not compel him to do so. De ein kofin lasis of nimishur sadin, we cannot compel people to act with nimishur sadin. That seems to be a machlokus, but as we shall see, not everyone agrees. This position is also taken by Rabbeinu Yonason, cited in the Shita in Bava Kamma on Kuf Tes Vav. The Rabbeinu Yonason says that even though there's a mitzvah to do l'fnim mishur sadin, afilu hachi ein l'achriach kaladim las l'fnim mishur sadin. We don't force people to do l'fnim mishur sadin. Why? And he gives a very interesting reason. To dummy l'haydam rinan ba'alma, there's a general principle in halacha, kol mitzvah shematan tzchar b'tzida, any mitzvah that the Torah told us the reward, ein beis din mitzuvin l'achriach adam aleh. Beis din is not instructed to compel people to obey the mitzvah. K'mokin a mitzvah l'fnim mishur sadin, the mishur zin is simply a mitzvah, like other mitzvahs, and matan tzchar b'tzida. The Torah wrote the matan tzchar, k'damrinan, hider mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. A person is supposed to spend up to a shlish for hider mitzvah, ad shlish mishalo, up to a shlish he has to spend even though he'll lose the money, mikan ve'elik mishal kosh baruch hu. Beyond a shlish is on God's account, kolomer, sh'mashal maschar ba'olam hazeh. Hashem will refund the money to him ba'olam hazeh. Other mitzvahs he gets chayar olam haba, but beyond a shlish he gets chayar olam hazeh. So Rabbeinu Yonason says that, like the Rosh, we do not compel people to follow l'fnim mishur sadin, and the reason is because it's matan tzchara b'tzida. Now the Beis Yosef, in Chosh Mishpat and Simon Yud Beis, brings the Rosh, brings Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and says, Poshidu b'einai, it is obvious to the Beis Yosef that we cannot compel people to follow l'fnim mishur sadin. It is so obvious, he says, that Tmihani Alashikasa Mardechai, he doesn't understand the Mardechai who says Kaifinan. Lamevad of Nimashur Sadin. Umehanachuv Dimaisi Ramane Alonizkara Bahem Kviya. He says the Mardechai says that the Gemara says Kviya, the Nosesh Gemara, he says the Gemara never says Kviya. He doesn't understand, and Svara, how can you possibly compel somebody to do the Nimashur Sadin? And it is clear to him that the Rosh is correct. In the Shulchan Aruch, I believe he does not mention this issue at all. But in the Beis Yosef, he sides firmly with the view that we cannot compel people to do l'fnim mishur sadin. The Beis Yosef understood it was a machlokas, and he paskins that we are not kofa. The Ramah, on the other hand, brings both opinions. In Siman Yud Beis, Sifhei, the Ramah says, first he brings the shita that ain Beis Din yichal l'achav l'kaz l'fnim mishur sadin, alpish nir lehem shum min arayi, even though Beis Din thinks it appropriate in a certain case for them to do it, they cannot compel the litigants to do it. Then he says, yesh chalkim. Some people say that we can, and he's not machriya. Some achronim say that the usual rule in the Ramah is when he brings one shita b'stam and then a yesh chalkim, the ikur is like the first shita, and if he meant to rule like the yesh chalkim, he would have written v'chein haminag or something. He didn't write v'chein haminag either way, but some achronim understand the Ramah to be passing like the first shita, but it is not entirely clear. So the Beis Yosef and the Ramah understand kipshuto that we have a machlokus between the Rosh on the one hand and the other German Rishonim on the other hand, whether we can be kofet l'fnim mishur sadin. Some later Acharonim accept this too. But a number of Acharonim, though, deny that there's a machlokas. They find ways to reconcile the Rosh with the other Rishonim. There are two basic approaches taken in the Acharonim. Either to distinguish between the situation. In certain situations, certain kinds of people were kofa, other situations were not kofa. The other approach is to say that there's different kinds of kfiyah. Kfiyah means different things in different contexts. We'll now see some of the acharonim and we'll discuss the different approaches. The Bach, in Siman Yud Beis, Bach says that we are kofa, we absolutely are kofa. He agrees with the Mordechai. He says the Beis Yosef is wrong. He says the stories in the Gemara clearly, he agrees with the Mordechai, clearly do indicate that the Dayanim were kofa. And he uses very strong language. He writes, V'chein nagim b'chol batei din b'Yisrael lachuf la'asher b'davaroi. All batei din, he says, do compel ashirim b'davaroi v'nachon appropriately to act l'fim ashur sadin. Afal b'she'en adin kach. V'efshur, he says, Rav Yerucham b'shem arosh, nami l'kamer l'beinu asher. Bach says, depends on the situation. If the guy is not an asher, then we're not kofa. If he is an usher, then we are kofa. Again, and he says again, Pukhazi and I am a dabar. The Bach says, not only is the Mordechai right based on the Talmudic text, he's all, the Minhag, he says, very clearly is like the Mordechai, that the Anim do have the power and do act this way to compel people to act beyond Mir Din. Tzemach Tzedek, a Talmud of the Bach, also Paskin's kofa, but he also reconciles the Rosh with the other Rishonim, but differently from the Bach. He says, Nira leads, lo kosef kain, the Rosh who says, ain kofin, lo kosef kain, elad ain kofin b'shutin. We don't beat people. We don't use force to compel people to act with the Meshur Sadin. Al b'haradas nechasim moda. But to seize property, to force them to comply with the Meshur Sadin, to take money if we can, that we do. And then he goes on, and he says, oh, after he has another pshat, tafil b'haradas nechasim lo kefinan. We don't even take away property. Aval l'sham tekefinan. But we do use the cherem. That was always one of the strongest weapons in the rabbinic arsenal. We do use the cherem to force people to compel, to force people to comply with the mandate of Lefnei Meshur Hadin. And then he says, V'shaper islan l'meimar d'lapolik ha-rosh ha-kol hanach poskim. According to these distinctions, we can say the Rosh does not disagree with the poskim. D'maisi ha-mardachai, Ravon, Rav Ha-Ezri, V'Rav Yah. Rav Ha-Ezri and Rav Yah is probably the same person, according to the current scholarship. But he says, the kaifinan al Lefnei Meshur Hadin. The Rosh says we're not kofa, he meant b'shutin, that kind of kfiya. Uvaradas nechasim, have kafina b'shamta, but the cherem we do use. So Tzemach Tzedek has two pshatim, either that those who say kofin meant even shamta, or only shamta, or maybe even aradas nechasim. Many acharonim seem to assume his maskana is only shamta, not aradas nechasim, but at least shamta we do. And he said, v'chein pasik mariv rabbi b'bach, l'bach also paskins that we are kofa. Although he doesn't acknowledge the Bach says a different chiluk in the Rishonim that between Asher and not Asher, and he says a chiluk between Shamta and other kinds of Kfiyah. But they both agree that the Ikar Lalacha is Kofin, just that the Bach limits it to an Asher, and the Tzemach Tzedek focuses on a different point and says that the Kfiyah is only B'Shamta or maybe Haradas Nechasim, but not with actual Shotin. So these two Acharonim Paskin, like the Shitas, that we are Kofin, although they limit it to Asher or to Kfiya b'shamtor b'haradas nechasim. The Shvas Yaakov, on the other hand, does not like this. He mentions the Bach. He rejects this. He says that shamtas chomer min negida. In other places in halacha, we find that cherem is even more chomer than malchus, than kfiya b'shutin, than corporal punishment. So the Shvas Yaakov is machriya that we do not do kfiya. We do not do any kind of shamta or malchus or haradas nechasim probably. But he agrees. He says that what we might do is we might do kfiya bedvar. He says that he's willing to do, but he says real kfiya of using actual teeth, using actual penalties, that he's not willing to do. So he paskins not like the sheet of kofin, or at least not like any real kind of kfiya. Shav Yaakov also, the Shav Yaakov brings the Bach and says, Ein dati maskenasi mo klal. First of all, he says the Bach himself only talked about an usher. In his case, he wasn't an usher. But more than that, he makes the point about that the Ramah himself brings two shitas, he says, and he claims Rov Deos hold Ein Kofin. I'm not sure who the Rov Deos are. All we have are the Rosh and the Rinyanis. But he says Rov Deos say Ein Kofin, Vehema Ha'ikr. And he adds an additional caveat. He says, Befrat Bizman Azeh, even if in principle we could allow compulsion to act with the Meshur Sadin, he says, in practice, in contemporary times, we cannot allow it. He says, Chas v'shalom, litin reshus l'beistin, leilech achar asvaras k'dei lachuf. This is a theme we find in many poskim, that even if certain powers were legitimately belonging to Beis Din in Chazal's times or in earlier times, today we can't do certain things because the Batei Din are not as righteous and as pure-minded as they once were, and we can't trust Beis Din with certain powers. So the Shev Yaakov felt, and now this is Ibn Ezer, the end of Simon Chav Tes, that we cannot trust contemporary Batei Din 300 years ago, 200-300 years ago, with the power to act beyond the letter of the law. So he says that we certainly cannot be kofa people to act with the Meshur Sadin. Knesi Cheskel, Narachayim Simon Zion, has a pilpul, he brings Raias to the Rush, and he paskins also, Hilchstaka Rush, the Lokai Finol of the Meshur Sadin, that we cannot be kofa. The Tumim also distinguishes between, like the Tzemach Tzedek, between different kinds of kfiya. The Tzemach Tzedek says that the chiluk is between, the Tzemach Tzedek is in Simon Tzadi Tess, of Simon Pei Tess, and he said the chiluk is between Shamta or even Haradas Nechasim versus Kriya Beshutin, that you can use the Cherem and maybe even seize property, but you can't beat the person. The Tumim goes one step less. He says that when the Mordechai, the ones who say that you do compel, if Imashur Zedin, Rakshinar Baloshan Chi Chayav, whom Maral Kfiya, Vahainu Kfiya Bamili. Verbal pressure, moral suasion. Vamrim Lo, Chayav Atalasis Kain. A, we can tell him you are obligated to do this. It's not simply a nice thing to do, you must do this. Further, we can tell him, v'meincha shameya ata avarian. If you do not listen to us, if you don't do what we're telling you to do, you are an avarian, a sinner. Avalo nachafas b'shutim v'nidui, even not nidui, na'alav tzemach tzedek u'chidama, kiman de'in shur tzedin kach. And that's the difference, he says, zehev dol sheyesh bein din levin atlim ashur tzedin. So it's structurally the same approach as the tzemach tzedek, but the tzemach tzedek goes as far as nidui, and he says only as far as verbal kfiyah. And then the Tum also says, so identical to the Tzemach Tzedek, except that he doesn't go as far as Shamta, he limits it to verbal kfiya. Rav Shlomo Kluger, in his Chochma Shlomo on the Shulchan Aruch, also says that the Ikra and the Ramah is like the Dei Rishana, and he also says that even the guy himself, he says, would have the right to say Kimli, just like in Maman, the Nitva, the Mukhtar can always say Kimli, certainly here, where it's only with Mimashur Sazin, the Nitva could say Kimli like the Shita, that says I'm not obligated to act. Certainly says the Dayan shouldn't get involved and force him to do a Fimashur Sadin when it's a machlokas. But says Rishlan Kluger, Lakroso Avarian, like the Tumim, ain't cannot tell us mom, and that you can do. So on the one hand, he seems to say it is a machlokas in the Shitas, Rama has two Shitas, but he seems to understand that machlokas is only on real kfiya, but kfiya of Dvarim, like the Urim Batumim, that he has no problem allowing the Dayan to do. Similarly, the Aruch HaShulchan also, in Simon Yud Beis of Beis, he brings Machlokas in the Ramah, and he says again, Machlokusim Eino Ela Lenin Kfiya Gemura. They're arguing about real Kfiya, like Shamta, or Haradas Mechasim probably, or like Shutin. Aval Bedvarim, Hakol Modim Shetrichin Lechofo. Everyone agrees you do Kfiya Bedvarim. Malomer Lo Sha'atim Mechuyav Latav Mishur Zadin. We can tell him you have to do it. Uchiyai Gavna Divir Techocha V'Zoharis Rachamim. So we see that some Achranim learn it's actually a Machlokas, and if it's machlokas, many achronim paskin that ain't kofin. Other achronim learn that everyone agrees certain kinds of kfiya shamta, or at least kfiya bedvarim, to call him an avarian, to tell him you should do it, you must do it, we can do. And that is the opinion of many achronim. The Rosh Shulchan has an interesting position in Siman Reish and Tess, in Hilchos Metziah. There, the Shach actually brings the Shita of the Agud and the Mordechai that we are kofa. Doesn't bring a dissenting opinion. Many achronim suggest that the Shach himself is being machriya that we are kofa, but the Ramah doesn't say anything there. Over there, the Aruch HaShulchan says, he brings a Shach, and he says, why by Metziah are we kofa if by other cases we're not kofa? He means other cases the Machlokas. He says, Pnei She'en Lo Hezek Mikiso, Nirali. Metziah is better because he's not actually losing anything. Easy come, easy go. The Metziah he found, he's giving up. I don't know why the Aruch HaShulchan thinks there's a difference between Metziah and anywhere else. After all, as we've seen in the Rishon and Metziah, the Mordechai, which is the whole Makar of the Sheet of Kofin, was talking about Metziah, but he also brought Raias from other Gemaras. And we haven't seen any earlier poskim from Machalik, but the Aruch HaShulchan seems to think that Metziah, it's easier to be kofa than in other cases. Now, we saw earlier the Sugya in Ha'omnim, where twice, in two successive parts of the episode, the Dayan said pay, or give them back the Glima, and he asked Dina Hachi, and he said yes, because it says, L'man Telech B'derech Tov, and Baruch HaSidikim Tishmer. So many Achronim ask, What does it mean, dina hachi? He asked him it's a din, and he said yes, and he said because it says l'man telech b'derech tov. That's not din, that's the flimishur said din. So if the question was, he should have said no. He should have said the question is no, that's not the din, but you should do l'flimishur said din. What kind of answer is this? Yes, it's a din, and you bring a pasuk in Mishlah. That's not din. Din is what we learn in Shulchan Aruch. This is called l'flimishur said din. So how do we understand the Shekhavatari of the Gemara? So Rabbi Sacher Shlomo Teichtel, best known perhaps today as the author of the Zionist classic Ambon Smecha, but he's also the author of the Shiloh Sechuvos Mishnah Sacher. This is when still this was during his career as a distinguished posik in somewhere in Eastern Europe. So he has a very interesting tshuva with a great deal of bekiyus, where he brings a number of Acharonim who ask this question, and they all, as he explains, say more or less the same thing. They all say Pachas Yoser, that even though this is l'fnim Mishur Sadin, and even though for some people this would not be the din, but under certain circumstances, for certain people, l'fnim Mishur Sadin itself is transformed into din and becomes actual din. And that's why it can be kofik according to some poskim. The Shlah has an idea like this in Asara Mamaros, Mamar Zayin, Chelik Beis. The Shlah goes on about how the Torah really would have given us a lot more mitzvahs. For example, a person has to eat. He shouldn't eat too much. But he says, how much is too much? Different people need different amounts. The Torah couldn't write, don't eat more than 1 pound, because some people need more than a pound, some people need less than a pound. For every person, he says, eating more than he needs is usur. But the Torah couldn't write that because there's no way to give a general principle. And he goes on like this for a while, and he explains that's a deal of Mishur Sadin. He actually explains the Maran Bab Metzia a little bit differently, but he has the same idea that Teichtel quotes, that Mishur Sadin can become din under the appropriate circumstances. A number of other Acharonim take this position. For example, Rav Azariah Figo, the Gedulei Truma, in his Drushus Bina Le'itim, he asks this kasha straight out. He says, Kashli B'shteach HaLukas, Yushal Arav Dina Hachi. And he answered him in, and he brought Pesukim and Mishur said Din. There's not the Din. So why did he say Din? He should have said no, but he should do it anyway. So he says that Shlomo HaMelech was telling ordinary people, Mishnah was written for everyone, not just for special people. Shlomo was telling people, do what the Tovim do. L'man telech b'derech Tovim. Walk in the path of the Tovim. Do what Tzadikim do. So the Pasuk means that for Tzadikim and Tovim, this is actually their din. For them, this is actual din. For you, for regular people, this is not din, but you're encouraged, l'fim ashur din, to do what they do. So when Rav told Rav Aruchan Adina Hachi, he meant, since, you see, Shlomo told ordinary citizens to do this, because it is the derech of the Tovim and Tzadikim, so we see that for Tovim and Tzadikim, it's actual din. And you, Rav Baruch Hanna, you are Tovim and Tzadikim, so for you, this is absolute din. Chazar Etzlam Kedin Gomer. Since Rav Baruch Hanna was an Adam Rasham, he was a notable person, he told him, L'gabach Shemachuyev Atalat L'fim Ashur Sadin. Rav Teichtel brings a similar pshat from the Gaon in Eben Shlomo. Talmud Chacham Tzarech L'Snag L'Bin L'Fim Meshur Sadin. Talmud Chacham, special people, must act L'Fim Meshur Sadin. Yosem Mishar Ha'am. The basic idea you really find in Rishonim already, that the Gemara of Rav Baruch Hanna was specific to a Talmud Chacham, or if Tachshul understands that he meant the same shot, that then that's what he meant, the Dina Hachi, that for him, this is actual Din. He says, L'mashal Limchol Dmei Hezek Sh'aslo Apol, to forgive the worker the damage that he caused, Zeu Derech HaRib Bnei Adam. That the Gaon actually distinguishes between the two parts of the story. So Tzimochel v'Hezek, the first step in the story, many people would do. But to actually pay them the salary, L'shalom Otzchar Pulas and Bavura Dover Sheziko, that was something that only Pnei Chacham do. It doesn't actually explain the phrase Dina Hachi, but Rav Teichtel understands that he means the same thing. This point is also made by the great Vilna Dain, or Shlomo Cohen, in the Sefer Atzei Baroshim. He brings this, actually, he said he heard it from another Marat Tzedek, who was a Marat Tzedek and a Magid Meisharim here in Vilna for 40 years. He heard this pshat from him also. This is in the Atzei Baroshim's end of Siman Nun Gimel. That Tema, he says, Me'achar, that he asked, Dina Hachi, what was the answer in? So the Gaon HaTzadik Hanal, he says, Hu Mosel of Mufarik, he gave an answer, but Tuv Tam Vadas, that the Pasuk is Mashma, that Tovim have a Derech Acher, ordinary people have one din, Tovim have a different din. Shalok Yishar B'nei Adam. Orchus Yikim Tishmar, the Tzadikim have Orchus Acherim. They have different ways. Shlomo HaMelech was saying that all people should try, they're encouraged to follow in these special ways. And that's why Rav was passing that for special people, to Minecham and Tzadiki, Hadar, they must do Lufnim Meshur Sadin. And that Shaper Heshav Rav Baruch Hanna, to Rav Baruch Hanna, Kivan Da'at, the Tzadik, the Talmud Chacham, you are a Tzadik and a Talmud Chacham, you have the special obligation to act l'fnei mishuras hadin and to give them the salaries. And this point is also made in the end of in the Tshuvas Heishiv Moshe of Teitelbaum, in the end of Siman Memches in Yeridaya. He was talking about a case of a shidduch, and one side didn't come up with the required promised sum by a certain date. The other party wanted to back out. And it was a case where they would have had the money. There would be a slight delay, but nobody's really going to lose money. But the other side was being a stickler and insisting that since you missed a deadline, that's it, we're unraveling the shidduch. So he has a long, long tshuva discussing the halacha, whether he's allowed to or not. And he writes, Kenu mikra din, baruch ha-shemesh, that he would have the right to back out. But he says, L'maisa, the shoel was a talmud chacham. And since it was only a technical violation, and he says, Davar tamua b'enei hamon, people see this as very bizarre, to break a shidduch, mishum ikhar is not a siluk, just for missing a deadline, if he's ready to pay now, he says. He says, l'charvi Yerushalayim, he brings the Gemara of Rabba Rachana, he says, and he asks the same kasha, he says, l'char kasha, l'man telech, hu rach l'fim ashur din. So how can he say, dina hache, how can he say in? It's a stira minei ube, he says. So he says, the same idea that we've seen in other achronim, mamish. Is for regular people, but Talmid Chachamim and Tzaddikim, they have a special obligation. For them, it's an actual chiyuv to do Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. Then he brings the Bach, who says that the minhag is to be covered for Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. And he says, even though the Bach is only talking about an usher, but for a case where there's no real loss, like going through with the shidduch, you're not going to lose anything. You want it to back out, but if you don't back out, you're not going to lose anything. Similar to the svara of the Aruch HaShulchan, that for Rosh HaShanah Aveda, we tell you to do Lefnei Meshuras Hadin because you're not really losing anything. So he says here also, if there's no real loss, even if you're not an Asher, you really have to do Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. And he again uses very strong language at the end. He says, L'dati dvar bazeh Torah kilu nitin misinai. The Bach Psak, unlike the other Acharon who matmi on the Bach, he says what the Bach said is kilu nitin misinai. It's absolutely correct. Raki says again, she had dati shodayin l'shem shemayin. We saw the Shav Yaakov simply didn't trust contemporary Batei Din. To act l'shem shemayim, he says, yeah, the dayan should do that, but he should be mechavin l'shem shemayim. When we call shkein l'tamal chacham v'yarei shemayim, certainly if the litigant before us is a tamal chacham and yarei shemayim, as we've seen, all these zacharim explain the Gemara, for them, l'fim meshur sadin is really binding. L'gabe didei dinahu. Another very important maramakum in the sugya is a comment of Rav Sadia Gaon. This is in something called the Sefer HaPikadon. Rav Sadia Gaon takes a very interesting perspective. He says, L'fnei Meshuras Hadin, Mashakaru Chachamim, Derech Tov V'Archa Tzaddikim, that seems to be a clear reference to the Gemara on Bava Metzia about the workers who broke the barrel. He says very clearly, it's a chova sheyelchu achrei zeh, it's for the Balei Din, they're supposed to follow this. Lo ala shoftim, this has nothing to do with Dayanim. U'lechein hadayin lo yosib b'dinov lo yigra. The Dayan must stick, like Justice Holmes said, play the game according to the rules. No justice. The Balei Din, they should do justice. They should do the right thing. But the Dayan has to stick to the rules. Al zeh ne'emar, like the secular judges in Dr. Vigoda's court cases, lo sisa p'nei dal v'lo seder. The Dayan has no right to take into account the indigent status of the litigant. So that seems very clear. And Dr. Vigoda takes this kipshuto. He says, even though the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Mordechai and company said that we do compel litigants to act with the Meshuras Hadin. The Svardim, I'm not sure who he means, other than Beis Yosef, I guess, and Rav Sadia. But Rav Sadia says that we a Dayan cannot compel litigants. It's their business, not his business, to follow the Meshuras Hadin. He says, Kedvarim ha'ma'alfim shal Rav Sadia Gaon, that it's only a chi of klape kol yachid b'yachid, not on the Dayan, ein merachman b'din. But there's another way to understand Rav Sadia. This is the interpretation offered in the Halacha Psuka by Machon Harry Fischel. They understand that Rav Sadia has nothing to do with the question in the later Rishonim about the Dayan compelling. They say Rav Sadia means to make a lumdish point. Rav Sadia means to say, Beis Din has to issue a psak of the Din. Then they can tell the Baal Din that you have a mitzvah to do Lefnei Meshuras Hadin, and maybe we'll even be kosher for you. But they have to distinguish between Din and Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. They can't simply issue a ruling and say, this is the ruling, this is Din. That's not the Din. Even though we saw it by a Talmud Chacham, maybe it's a Din, but by regular people at least, it's not the Din. And they have to clearly distinguish that we are not telling you to do this because of the Din. We're telling you to do this because of the Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. Once we tell you that, it might be a mitzvah, like other mitzvahs, like we saw in Rebbeinu Yonasan. It's like a mitzvah that has matzah and tzchara b'tzidah. But they want to suggest that Rav Sadia has nothing to do with the machlokas of whether we're kosher or not. In any event, Rav Sadia here is not really brought by any of the poskim. They probably didn't see this Rav Sadia. What the earlier poskim bring is simply the Rosh who says, lo kefinan, versus the other Rishonim who say that we are kosher. There's a very important, very interesting explanation of Rav Zalman Lechemi Goldberg. He says this in various essays and in person. He's well known for the Shita. He explains the whole concept of Lefim Ashur Sedin. He says, what does Lefim Ashur Sedin mean? He says, does it mean that it's less binding? He says, no, we've seen Shita said it is binding. He says, Ma Bein Din Levin Lefim Ashur Sedin. Ein Lomar Shehevdu Bein Ein Lenin Kviya. That one is mandatory, one we force you to do and one not. He said, we saw the Rishonim say that we cover for that too. We did see, however, that some poskim say it's only for an usher, and some poskim say it's only for Talmud Chacham. And Rav Zalman Lechemi explains the theory behind that. He says, based on Rishonim, he says, the Torah has two kinds of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs pratius, eat matzah, put on tefillin, and mitzvahs klalius, things like kedoshim tiyu and vasisa yashar v'atov. Mitzvahs pratius, you have to put on tefillin. I don't care if you're an usher, if you're an ani, if you're tired, you're not feeling well. Everyone has to put on tefillin. Everyone has to eat a kezayis matzah. Nobody can eat a kezayis chalev. We don't find chalukim between asher and ani and talmud chacham and circumstances. That's mitzvahs pratius and that's din. He says mitzvahs klalius, like kedoshim tiyu and vasisa yashar v'atov and l'man telech b'derech tovim, those are general mitzvahs. Be kadosh, do the right thing, do l'fnim asher v'din. But because they're klalius, they depend on the circumstance. And that's why we find the poskim take into account things like usher and ani, and things like talmud chacham and that. He says, "Al pi klal zeh yesh mitzvah shatara pirta mitzvahs pratiyos ein chilip and ani l'asher." Just to both of them, the ani and the usher, gnevas asura, they both have the mitzvah shavas aveda, they both have the mitzvah of tarfus. There's no chilukim. Aval, he says, "Mitzvah shasra tara derech klal k'on kedoshim tiyu." To a healthy person, a weak person, a sick person, to a person who eats a little bit of meat in moderation, unlike chalev, where there's a shear, there's no shear. It depends how much. It's all context. But Zen Novini said, with this we understand, we force an usher to be machzer aveda after yesh, mashmalani ain't kofin. In regular mitzvahs, you don't find this kind of distinction. Zewatam l'chalak ben asher l'ani, because it's a mitzvah klalis to do yashar v'tov, and it all depends on context. V'chein, he says, yesh l'chalak ben mitzvah klalis ben adam pasher l'adam tzaddik. As we've seen, all these achronim say that was pshat in Rabbi Brachana, that tzaddikim are held to a higher standard. He himself brings that gemara. Rabbi Brachana, chayav l'shalam scharam shal sevalim. And Tosis themselves already said that only Rabbi Rachana would be chayav this, not Adam Acher, because again, in mitzvahs klalius, he says, it's all context, and we distinguish between the deep, based on the details of the circumstance. That is his hesber, that the yisod is not really the distinction between how mandatory it is. The yisod is whether it's a specific thing the Torah commands in which case it's flat and across the board without distinctions, or whether it's simply the application of a general principle, in which case we do distinguish between finer details, finer distinctions based on the circumstance. In conclusion, just going to mention two last Maror Mekomos. Dr. Vigoda mentions a letter of Rav Kook, who kind of underscores, emphasizes the points we've been making very clearly, very eloquently. Rav Kook is talking about Rachim. He says, Midas HaRachimim, compassion, mercy, he mishameshes b'yichud etzal kovei achukim, is primarily an attribute desirable for legislators, those who make laws. But he says, "Afilu b'shoftim pratim," even in the judicial branch, even in judges, "gam kein ein ze klal gomer." The klal of ein merachim bedin that you have to pass from strict in is not absolutely a klal, as we've seen in these gemaras. He brings the gemara of the workers who broke the barrel. The gam, he says, "ikar shel lefnim mishur hadin gam hu nichnas b'klal hadin lefamim." Sometimes lefnim mishur hadin becomes din, as we've seen many achronim say. And we call Zay, he says, Mechrochim Lomar, we have to say, Shakosim Sha'omer V'dolos Edabarivo, you cannot take into account the fact that someone is poor. Hu Nemar Dafka B'zman Shadayin Einam Eschash of Klalim Shur Zedin. If a Dayan simply tosses away the Shulchan Aruch and says, I want to have Rachmanis on you, that's absolutely forbidden. El Shaposikis Mishpah, Rachm Pnei Rachmi, that's Rachm Al Adal. If he simply departs completely from the Halacha because of the Dal, that you can't do. When he's working within a framework of din, the dayan has the right to combine to his din, compassion on the downtrodden and the oppressed, and oppressed workers. And this is what we've seen from all these Acharonim, that the dayan, either consciously or through a general midah of rachlim, has the right to take into account, the duty to take into account, the financial status of the litigant and act l'fnei mishuras hadin, again, if the circumstances require it. Rav Tachtal himself, in another tshuva, the first one was in Chashmish Bar Siman Dalad, this one is in Siman Chaf Dalad, also makes this point. He says, even though, he says, in my earlier tshuva, I emphasize that many poskim say that there is an idea of l'fnei din, that a dayan can compel it and it becomes din. He said, that's only, he says, when there's basis for it in the halacha, he says, but heicha da din barer, when the halacha is clear that somebody is completely in the right and the other party completely in the wrong, asur l'fasher, the asur l'achuf l'asher last l'fnei mishuras din. We can't just tell an asher to do l'fnei mishuras din. He says, Moshe Herach Bazel La'or L'Hazir Agon, Rabban Shal Yisrael, Ben Tzvili Melech Zal, B'derech Edasecha. He brings the Lashon, he says, he wants to mevar toes hadayanim hamatim b'tehusam l'habal din. They mislead, the dayanim make a toes, and they mislead the balei din. Mefashrim b'lo das, v'choshim l'hem mitzvah. They think as soon as someone's rich, they should just make him make a pshar, make him give in. He says, no, it's not the way it works, he says. He says it only rakh mesil as atara da hinu adavra pasha shar baldin mischayo pi atara belis safik ubeli shvua zayin makom lafasher adayin as mafasha brazil gazni chashiv. That's gzela, to just give it to somebody else to make it even. You can't do that. Rak adavra shiv la safik, when there is some doubt, or as we've seen, some basis for the pshara, for lefim mishuras din, then you can take into account usher and ani. And one last maramakam, this is actually not in a Chashem Mishpah context, but this is something worth hearing. It's something that ilo nichtav lo hayanitin layamer, we couldn't say this on our own. Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, in an essay on Rav Yisrael Chanan, he talks about what besides what a great gun Rav Yisrael Chanan was, he was also a great, had a great lave, he was a great tzaddik and was extremely empathetic. So he talks about his communal chesed and the great things he did for Klal Yisrael. And then he goes on and talks about his psak. He writes, Eini yadea im yesh inyan afla tzadik v'bechinas osetzdaka selotshuva selchasiyat. He doesn't know if you can really mix in tzedakah and compassion on people and helping people to halacha, to paskin shailas. He says, Uvduhu, he said, but these are the facts. Barov tshuvosev machriyar v'tzal chan l'tzad heter. Rizal Kharan is famous for being a Makel. Most of his tshuvas, he ends up being Makel. Omnam, he says, yes, of course, Barayas V'achacha is Masamad and Shalacha, like Rav Kook and like Rav Tachtel say, he can't just be Makel just for fun. Of course, he has an elaborate, massive halachic framework for doing so. Aval, he says, again, the facts are Maskana L'Rov V'Lachal. Usually he is Makel. Now he brings from the Kubalim. He says, Chachmei HaEmes Omrim, the Kubalim tell us, Beishamai, who typically were Machmer, Sharish Nishmasam he migvuras al yonas. There, Sharish Nishama came from gvura, from din. Ubeis Hillel mechasadim al yonim, from chesed, from rachamim. And that's why, that's the root of the fact that Beis Shammai is machmer, and Beis Hillel is mekel. It wasn't just a coincidence that most of the time Beis Shammai was machmer. It had to do with their Sharish Nishama. Dome, he says, ki Sharish Nishmasam ataran shel Yisrael Chanan, the Sharish of Yisrael Chanan's Nishama chutzav mimidas hachesed. Came from Chesed, and he says Biyichud on a row midas ozeh b'sheilos ha'agunas. We see this primarily, especially in Agunas Shailas. He gives us one statistic. Be'ein Yitzchak Harishon, he says in the first section of Ein Yitzchak, bo yosim mishivim tshuvas b'agunas, more than 70 tshuvas about Agunas, Rubim kulam b'nashim Agunas, some with men, l'cham l'ktzaseim, all the branches of Agunas, Kedushin, Gittin, Sota, uvakulon, he says every single one l'vad achas mehem, except for one case. Hisik lahatir, tshuva yechid debelvad. Only one tshuva said Rizal Chanan yatzah beisir, and of course Rizal Chanan wasn't getting the easy ones. The easy ones, other people could have been makel. So he says, he seems to feel there's no way to explain this without invoking Rizal Chanan's chesed. So returning to the stories we began with, it is true the Torah does say v'dala sadeh barivo, and it is true that a dayan who closes the Shulchan Aruch and simply paskins based on where his emotions lead him is doing a terrible avla. However, it is also not true to say that Rachmanus and that consideration for the financial status of the litigants, among other factors, plays no role. We've seen many, many Acharonim say, A, that there is an ideal of Mishuras HaDin, B, that the Dayan is not forbidden for getting involved in that, We saw machlokes in whether he can do shamta, haradas nechasim, or shutin, but many, many acharim say kfiya bedvarim is okay. Many poskim say that it is the right or even the duty of the dayan to tell the litigants that what they should or even must do, and even call them an avarian if they don't, if they insist on sticking to the letter of the law. The dayan can tell him he's an avarian and he should do more if the situation demands it.